Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You did that just to hurt me.
I didn't mean to hurt
it.
You. Sorry, darling. Drafting a quarterback to win a Super Bowl with is, it's beyond rare. I mean, it's beyond rare. The chances of the Niners doing it border on infinitesimal. I mean, no matter who they pick, the chances of the other guy being the guy they should have picked are greater than whoever they picked working out. That's the way it goes. That's just using not a little bit of history, but a whole lot of history to reach that conclusion. I saw this from Jeremy Schapp over the weekend. Quarterbacks have gone one, two, or third, first, second, or third, 44 times in the last 50 years of NFL drafting. So 44 times a quarterback goes first, second, or third in 50 years of NFL drafting. Only two of them, Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning, won Super Bowls for teams that drafted them. That's it. Two out of 44 over the course of 50 years. And they're both Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
How many won Super Bowls in general? Do we have that?
I do not have that. Okay. Two quarterbacks taken third or higher won it all for their team that they chose in the last 50 years. That's the total list. The list is two names. The only wrinkle that I'll put out there before anybody bothers texting it to us is this. John Elway obviously went number one overall and won a Super Bowl. But the wrinkle that takes him out of this equation is he was not drafted by the Denver Broncos. He was drafted by the Baltimore Colts. So his name kind of comes off the pile due to that glitch in the equation, shall we say.
Eli's a glitch, too.
Also a glitch, correct. But
yeah,
a glitch that makes it a fact still. And it doesn't do any more than double your total to four over the course of 50 years, which means you're still up against it in terms of any chance of this really working out.
Oh, yeah, no, it's absolutely. I mean, you know, Bruce Arians says this, you know, even if everything goes right for you, you're a 3-in-10 shot to get it right. And right is a relative term, because if you want to just extend the logic out, the guy who should win the Super Bowl is the first pick, not the third. You know, because if you assume that everybody gets the draft right, the best quarterback is the one that gets picked first. So, all the pressure,
all
frankly.
Those,
yeah, go
some
ahead.
Some of those were third, and the third, and the first quarterback picked still. But, so sorry, Bradshaw obviously is included in that, right?
Yeah, it's a course of 50 years, so any quarterback.
Oh, no, that's why. They got Bradshaw out because he was 1970.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say that he was right on the borderline.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, listen, I mean, here's the thing about stats like that, right? That's a stat about how hard it is to win a Super Bowl, not a stat about how you shouldn't draft a quarterback in the top three. And I know that that's not how you're presenting it, Damon. But this is one of these things where, like, you know, a team has the fifth pick, but if they lose a game, they might get the third pick. And people argue that the fifth pick is better than the third pick because so-and-so was drafted with the fifth pick, and oh, look at how many third picks have busted. Well, yeah, third picks have busted because this is hard. You know, quarterbacks in the top three haven't won Super Bowls for the teams that drafted them because winning a Super Bowl is incredibly hard. And, you know, even still, there's a little bit of misleading stuff in that stat. But nevertheless, drafting a quarterback in the top three is still by far the best way to find a quarterback. Because I bet if you went and did the percentage of winning a Super Bowl with a quarterback acquired by any other means combined, I think your percentages would be even lower.
Oh, I don't want to have the let's do our show prep during the show, but I would almost be willing to wager that you've had more Hall of Fame quarterbacks from the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds than you'd had the first round.
But you've had more quarterbacks winners from those rounds. You've had more Super Bowl. You've had more picks to choose from. I'm saying the odds by percentage, I think, would clearly be worse. You know, like, yeah, Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round, but that's not an argument that the sixth round is the best place to find a quarterback, right? There have been countless sixth-round quarterbacks whose names we don't even remember because they never even made a roster. So, all this is true, but it's not that the stats are wrong. It's that the stats tell you how hard this is as opposed to, like, the folly of that specific position being used on a quarterback.
It's so hard. It's so hard. And the amount of hand-wringing and assured, just I mean, the mutually assured, agreed upon this quarter. Like, here's the deal. I'm not that enamored with Mac Jones, but if he's the pick, he's got as much of a chance to work out as Trevor Lawrence does, I guess, is my overall point. Forget about the other three guys, the other two guys that the Niners don't pick. Mac Jones has just as much of a chance to be successful as Trevor Lawrence does, much less Justin Fields, much less Trey Lance, much less. Look, Justin Fields could be a total Trevor Lawrence could be a total bust. You have no idea. Sure. No idea.
Even the sure things, you just don't know. Like,
he could be a good quarterback doomed to be on a bad team and getting the crap kicked out of him week after week.
Right. And that's the other thing is even if he's good, it doesn't guarantee him a Super Bowl. He could have a great career where he's, you know, a five-time All-Pro and a 10-time Pro Bowler and goes to the Hall of Fame one day and even plays in a conference championship.
Every quarterback is basically running three races at the same time. How good can I learn this league and improve? How fast can I do that? How fast can my team improve around me to really put a competitor out on the field? How quickly can I do this before my body gives out because I've just been beat up? Like,
the team needs
to get better, I need to get better, and I need to stay healthy. Good luck with all three of those races.
Well, and even if all of those things come together, you need really just some, like, bounces of the ball and some good injury luck around you in a year to win a Super Bowl as well. Like, it's just so damn hard. And in a sport where there's so much injury and attrition, it's even harder. So yeah, those are crazy when you read them out. But when you think about it, it's like, yeah, it makes sense because of how difficult this thing is. And what, we're somewhere in the 50s on Super Bowls, right? And I just, you know, pulled up a list of the winningest Super Bowl quarterbacks. And I think this is a complete list, I'm pretty sure, of people who've won more than one Super Bowl. And it's 5, 10, like 12 guys long. And it's more than half of all the Super Bowls ever. So, like, if you're not on this list of 12 guys, then you're already out of the money for the most part. Like, it's an even shorter list of guys who won just one Super Bowl. So it's just hard.
Somebody says, you know, how many Super Bowl teams ever get to pick, though, in the top three? Therefore, no, this is the whole point. You picked your quarterback of the future. The future then happens. And then when you look back and all that future is now in your past, you still have not won the Super Bowl with the quarterback that you took, is the point that Jeremy Schapp was making. Two quarterbacks taken third or higher won it all for the team that actually drafted them over the course of 50 years. That's amazing. That's a seriously amazing number.
And even if you add in like Eli and who was the other exception you had, that's still four
Elway.
Of those guys in 50 years. Right. If you add in Eli and Elway, even if you take it to 52 years and add Bradshaw, it's four or five guys in 50 plus years of all the top. It's just hard.
It's really hard. It's really hard. And the whole point is that wins are so attached to a quarterback as if it's a quarterbacking stat. It's not. It's not. We should spend no more time addressing wins attached to the right guard as we do the quarterback. But that's just not the way football is packaged or sold or discussed. So we don't do that. But we should. We should be talking about, well, how many Super Bowls can you win with this right guard? Well, I don't know.
None.
Depends on who the right guard is.
Yeah. When was the last time a guard was taken in the top three? I mean, even among offensive linemen, it is the least valuable position.
Right.
Yeah, but if we just said offensive line overall, right? I think it's easy to make the argument that offensive line is just as important to winning a Super Bowl as quarterback more often than not. Because if that great quarterback doesn't have a few seconds to throw, he can't do much anyway. Like, football more than any other sport is so interconnected and so impossible to extricate the specific parts and what they're responsible for that, yeah, attributing it all to a quarterback is silly. At the same time, if we look at the list of quarterbacks who won a Super Bowl, we see, like, you don't often win one without a pretty damn good quarterback.
My high school team had this old guy who, like, was the friend of
playing
an assistant coach. No. He was just, like, the old guy who hung around
movie.
Football practice and would, like, offer up the sage advice from the corner when no one was paying attention. He's basically like Dennis Hopper in Hoosiers. You know,
was he wearing like the football shorts, you know?
No, he wasn't creepy old guy. It was more like houndstooth hat, sort of charming.
Oh,
who the hell is this guy? You know, that's just it.
Oh, it was Bear Bryant.
Well, here's the thing. He might
tapping
as well
a newspaper in his hand.
He might as well have been, because he used to say something that has just proven true time and time again, and it sounded like dismissible old man logic at the time. Now you look back at it, it was true the entire time he was saying it. He would say, football, boys, all it is blocking and tackling. Everything else just sells tickets. That's it. And he's right. It's just blocking and tackling. Everything else is just there to sell tickets. But if you block right, you tackle right, you're going to be hard to beat. And that brings us back to the Niners' offensive line, which got better, which means it doesn't matter who they draft. You can go win this thing with Garoppolo, right? Right. Okay, everyone in agreement. We don't have to talk about it between now and the draft then. So when we come on back, we will tell you what's happening in Minneapolis in terms of some sports being canceled tonight and why that is happening. And a few other things that are happening that I honestly didn't think that we were going to be talking about, but here we are. You're telling me there's going to be a movie about Sean Payton starring Paul Blart and Mall Cop? Okay, we'll talk about that here on 95.7 The Game. And we're going to give you a chance to win $1,000 by texting the code word MACHINE to 72881. That's MACHINE to 72881, brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware, Patio, Garden, and more. Check it all out at osh.com. This is a multi-state contest with message and data rates applying. You can perk up your patio and save at Outdoor Supply Hardware. Right now, select Bistro and Rocker patio sets are $20 off. Illuminate pathways with solar skate lights, now two for $11. Outdoor Supply Hardware with 12 great locations. And online, you can check them out at osh.com. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, I've just been told this show is going to lose its Top Shot virginity. A little bit later on today, Matt Kolsky will be opening a pack of Top Shot cards or videos or gifts. I feel like an old man. What's happening?
Cards is right. You can say cards. Yeah, it's a card pack. It's a pack of three moments. And they're not probably going to be that exciting because it's just a base set pack. Nothing special. But fingers crossed, I'll get like a good serial number or a good player, and we'll be off to the races.
I'm excited. I've never opened a Top Shot, nothing. So this is I'm excited. I am. Ray, can you
feel the
excitement?
Do you want me to like hold it up to the Zoom for you so you can see the pack being opened?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I do.
Nice.
Nothing better than visuals on a radio show for the entire audience. But, yeah, I'd love to see it selfishly.
Yeah, we're working with the digital team. We're working with the digital team to see if we can provide a video option.
The digital team. So, Carl, we're working with Carl.
Correct. That's the digital team. What are the odds?
So we're working with Carl.
He's currently sleeping in his car, but you give him a couple hours, he can sober right up.
I didn't know you knew the whole digital team, but you do. You do know the whole team.
Have you met the entire team? His name is Carl.
Yeah. Well, it's Carl and his dog.
Good for him. I'm excited. I'm very excited. How much, Matt, have we, and by we, I mean you, spent on this Top Shot pack, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, this pack is just a $9 pack. So it's three moments, $9 total. And to give you an idea, hold on, let me just pull this up right now, because to give you like a vague idea, I have had one or two of these packs before, and some of the things in these packs are not particularly interesting. For instance, a common serial number 32,011 Cody Zeller dunk, right? Not something that you would think would be particularly interesting.
I'm glad our conversation starts with a Hoosier yet again. Thank you very much. You just keep on putting it on a tee. I'm going to hit it.
Yeah, I should have. That's my fault.
Hoosiers.
I feel like I'm apologizing to the listeners and Ray on a regular basis for letting you invoke the Hoosiers. But this great Hoosier dunk, and look, it's a dunk. He mashes all over Giannis, so it's a pretty good dunk. But that relatively innocuous moment of a high serial number, the lowest amount that moment is selling for on the marketplace right now is $6. So, you know, a $9 pack for pretty much any three moments would be a decent investment. It's just a question of whether I get lucky and get something really cool in there.
When you say relatively innocuous, what scale are you operating on? This is extraordinarily innocuous. About the Cody Zeller dunk.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's basically a nothing card. You know, it's the equivalent of if you opened your baseball cards back in the day and, like, you know, you're hoping you got a Frank Thomas rookie card, and instead it's like a Ron Karkovice. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what Cody Zeller is. But even if I got a pack full of Cody Zellers, it's still worth more than what I paid for the pack is the point that I'm trying to make.
One, don't sleep on Officer Ron. Two, those sound like some great Tom Petty pork chops possibly appearing in that baseball card. And three, you're already making money, baby. I love it. I like it an awful lot. So we're going to be opening a Top Shot pack of cards that Matt Kolsky has gone far out of his way. Many Bothan spies died to bring him this shot of Top Shot pack, and we're going to open it at 4:45 today. So there you go. We're going to go right into our big afternoon drive segment with our Top Shot reveal party. Who will it be? Ooh, I cannot wait. I hope it's like a colossal bum. I hope it's just so unremarkable.
At this point, that would make it more fun, right?
I hope it's the guy who threw that game when he was still at Northwestern.
What? Maybe it'll be like a Kobe scoring 60 on the anniversary of his 60 with a serial number of 60, and at the end of the segment, you're already a millionaire, Matt. Like, what Top Shot card could come up at 4:45 that would have you giving everybody on the Zoom meeting and our audience the middle finger and retiring with millions of dollars of Top Shot currency?
I would have to do some research into that, but I'm not sure that card is going to exist in a base pack. I mean, I think the best value I can hope to get is, like, if somehow I got the serial number one or, like, the jersey number of a superstar play, right? So if I got like serial number 34 of a big Giannis jumper or something or dunk, you know,
my
or
last
serial number 30 for Steph.
Or Yeah, or if you got Honus Wagner dunking on Giannis, that might be worth a million.
That would be rare.
That would be. It's really hard to find. A very hard to find card, especially
that's
in
your
condition.
$1 million score.
So, does Top Shot put a diamond? Like, is there a golden ticket that allows me to tour Willy Wonka's factory waiting in just a general public purchase for $9? Or do you have to come in at the extraordinary price point to get an extraordinary investment opportunity? Like, is there any chance that your $9 pack would reveal to you the purple emerald diamond, sapphire Zion Williams or something, whatever that is?
Not necessarily the purple diamond, what have you, whatever thing you just described. But to give you a sort of a vague idea on that, right? I have a Zach LaVine card, a dunk of Zach LaVine that is, my card of it. It's a base set, normal card, random serial number. So my specific card is likely not very valuable. But the most that a card of that set has sold for is $6,000. So, there's definitely the possibility that if I get the right serial number of the right card, because, Zach LaVine is hardly Steph Curry, that I could find a very, very lucrative card in this pack. That is within the realm of possibility.
So we'll just advertise it as this then. At 4:45, Matt Kolsky opens his $9 Top Shot pack live here and on the air on 95.7 The Game. If the right card comes up, it will instantly turn into the Matt Kolsky says, screw everybody, it's his retirement party. If things don't happen that extraordinarily, maybe we're looking at like an AC Law off serial number brand card level of excitement. So, hey, stick around 4:45. We all find out together, is Matt back for the rest of this week or is he in screw you guys? Here? I'm going home mode. We'll find out together today at 4:45. So, look.
It's better than most ways that I could find out if I still work here at 4:45 today.
If this bit doesn't work well, he may also not be working here tomorrow.
Hey, if the bit doesn't work well, that could go for all three of us. John Shea, by the way, I know that we were talking a little bit earlier about, and we're about to pivot back to baseball, by the way, but John Shea said that, the A's are in Arizona tonight. They're facing Madison Bumgarner, who's given up 11 runs on 15 hits and 5 walks in 9 innings over 2 starts. Sure, it's just a small sample size. His fastball average went from 90, it went up to 90 from 88 last year, but the exit velocity that he's given up has gone from 89.5 to 93.4, which means guys are just hard hitting him whenever they barrel him up. The hard hit percentage gone from 40 to 53.1. I mean, I'm not trying to bury Bumgarner in any way, shape, or form, but there is not a single element of statistical analysis that you could attach to him right now in any way where you could say that's a positive sign, that's a good trend, there's a direction you want to be headed in. It's sad. It's going to be tough to watch. If the A's do anything other than shell him tonight, it's Madison Bumgarner's best start in a calendar year.
It's a little bit, in fact, it probably is worse in some ways than watching the end of Matt Cain's career, because Matt Cain was another guy who pitched a lot of innings, and a lot of them were very good, and Bumgarner pitched a ton of great innings too, but at some point when you hit E, not everybody gets to be Trevor Bauer figuring exciting new ways to up your spin rate. Sometimes you're just done because you're done, and it sure looks like he is, because he hasn't had a good year in 3. His last year when he was a force was 2018. I mean, and I think that's just normal aging. He pitched a lot of hard innings.
Yeah, his last year when he was a force was 2018, but 2019, he really didn't show signs of this until the last month of the season. And even in that last month, which was largely bad, I mean, if you just take the last month of 2019, he was 0-4 decision-wise, but the team was 1-4 in his five starts, ERA 5.5, right? So that's a bad month. But even in there, he had two starts of seven innings with two earned runs allowed. So, like, to go from a year where leading up to that month, Madison Bumgarner looked kind of like the same old guy. I mean, you know, ERA up a little bit, batting average against up a little bit, but nothing outside of the ordinary. He fell off a cliff. And I don't know if the Giants saw something in that last month where they were like, this is going the wrong direction, or if they just got lucky. But as much as we all understood when they moved on, like, it was probably time and you didn't want to lock this guy up for big money over an extended period of time, I don't know that anyone could have seen it coming that it would be this ugly, because it really has been ugly for, you know, the entirety of the last two seasons now, which granted is only 11 starts, but still.
It's rough. It's rough to watch happen, and it's happening in real time. And the A's, they need a beatable opponent and a pitcher to get loose on. And who would have ever thought that guy might be Madison Bumgarner, and the A's are in Arizona tonight? It's Chris Bassett looking to get into the win column for the first time this year. He's 0-2 with a 5.56 ERA against Madison Bumgarner. Giants, meanwhile, got the Reds coming to town. Wade Miley against Aaron Sanchez, which it dawned on me today. If Bruce Bochy were still managing the team, he would tell you that tonight pitching were Sanchy. But, yeah, Aaron Sanchez is here going tonight. He is 0-0 with a 1.80 ERA. Wade Miley's 1-0, hasn't allowed an ERA yet this year. The Giants have just won three in a row at home. That's a good, nice little home start. And the Cincinnati Reds are coming in here. And, again, they hit. They hit a lot. They hit a ton. So this is a very interesting game all of a sudden in what felt like an uninteresting home opening, home stand, like Rockies, Reds, like call me when the real teams start getting here. Well, the Rockies at least gave the Giants a chance to get off to a nice start. They could use that. And now here come the Reds, and the Reds are as much of a surprise to the start of their year as the Giants are. Maybe even less, because they were a little bit on the come. But
And it's strength on strength, too, as you mentioned, right? I mean, it's a Reds team that's hitting everything against the Giants team that's been one of the best pitching teams in baseball through the first nine.
It's, you know, the Reds are a fascinating team because they have the kind of ballpark where even mediocre hitters should mash all the time, and yet they haven't. They've been sort of an ordinary hitting team, and this is the first time in a while that the Reds have, you know, put up a lineup that is like Atlanta Braves level fearless. But, you know, between Moustakas, between, you know, Eugenio Suarez. I mean, they're just loaded with guys who crush the ball. And, you know, I think this is who they are now. So I think this is going to be the first real test the Giants pitching staff has had.
Well, they've done a nice job with their tests so far. Yeah, but this is a challenge tonight. So we know that the Warriors are going to be tested again tonight. No James Wiseman for the foreseeable future. Steph is just on one lately. He's been putting together a string of 30-point performances or better. That is the longest of his career, and he needs to keep it up tonight. 19 points. He passes Wilt Chamberlain for most points in the history of the Golden State Warriors franchise, which is obviously a crown that he will fit into easily, probably by halftime tonight, the way that he's been going. A little help from some other Golden State Warriors. Who knows? They might actually even threaten the win column. But, boy, it's going to be tough when the Nuggets come into town. They're really good, and they are they're deep at the position. The Warriors are shallowest at. They got one bit of depth named Jokic. And
it's
Jokic,
not even a depth issue. You
yeah,
know, it's just that guy.
That guy against
depth issue.
Yeah, it's not good. It's just the wrong time to be playing the Denver Nuggets. That's for sure. And we'll see what happens tonight. What we will not be seeing tonight, gentlemen, is any sporting event in Minnesota outside of, I believe, an NHL game is still about to happen.
No, they postponed right around the time everybody else did. They were just the third of the three to do it.
You know, it's a good choice to do so because we know that police resources are going to be stretched thin, probably with another police shooting during a traffic stop, halted NBA and baseball tonight in Minnesota. And like Ray just told you, the Wild are now on board. They have canceled their game. But Twins and Red Sox, which was a day game, was not played today. Timberwolves and Nets will not be playing tonight. And the reason why is because the city is a bit of a powder keg right now. The trial of the officer that murdered George Floyd in broad daylight is still ongoing. And while that is happening, we have a new incident where another black man was killed at a routine traffic stop where a woman police officer, I don't know what her experience level was, but she says that instead of pulling out a taser, she accidentally pulled out a gun, and instead of tasering the guy, shoots the guy who is trying to flee a scene. It's just, it's another mess. It's another one of those, well, that's not good, and it certainly didn't end well, and there seems to be a common theme and thread here. So what's the right thing to do? Well, I got to tell you guys, the best team statement I have ever seen any team issue to address a very charged issue and moment was issued today by Twins president Dave St. Peter. And by the way, my internet is glitching here. So while I bring that statement up, first of all, what do you think of the choices to postpone tonight, erring on the side of caution? Probably the right thing to do.
Well, erring on the side of common sense, too. What the Timberwolves said was they apparently didn't even consult with the players, at least according to their statement. They talked, you know, with the front office, they talked to the city, and everybody was in agreement that playing was a terrible idea. So they were the I don't know if they were the first, but because the first cancellation I saw was Twins Red Sox. And they didn't put out a statement, and I haven't seen a statement either from the Wild. But the Timberwolves statement said pretty clearly that, you know, when they listed the number of people they consulted, the players were not on that list. So I'm presuming they just did the common sense thing on their own. And because if they didn't mention the players and the players were consulted, the players would be pretty hot right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the right thing to do. I'm not sure there were really options. I think, as Ray is kind of saying, you just, that if everyone agrees it's, if we can't really play right now, then I think we can't really play right now. And, you know, if we're just going to talk about what's the right thing to focus on, I think Minneapolis has much bigger problems.
Dave St. Peter, who is the Twins team president, issued what I think is as good of a statement as you could possibly issue. It is not arrogant. It is not preachy. It is what it is. And I want to share it with you because I thought it was really just an A-plus statement coming from a team president. Quote, "Our community has been through a lot. We have a trial taking place just blocks away from Target Field. Emotions across our community, emotions across our organization are raw. Based on the events of the last 24 hours, and as information has started to come to light, playing a baseball game today felt a little less important. When you add a level of public safety to that, particularly the safety for our fans, our players, our staff, again, we thought the decision we made today was the right call. History will maybe tell us otherwise, but today, this moment, we're pretty confident we're doing the right thing." End quote. Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Hey, you know, this is our home. And it doesn't matter what you think about it. Doesn't matter what any outside critics. It's our home. We're going to be a little bit more careful because it's our home. And this is what we care about. And our feet are on the ground. And this is our community. And maybe we even get this wrong. Who knows? But tonight we think we got this right. And since we're worried about tonight, we feel like it's the right thing to do. We're not here for criticism. We're not here for preaching. We're not here to tell you this is the only right way to do it, but it's the way we're doing it tonight, and that's that. I thought that was an A+.
It struck the right tone. And conversely, I saw a tweet from Woj that said that the Timberwolves were thinking about just playing the game with Brooklyn tomorrow night. And that seems like a, you know, what's the hurry? You know, why don't you just let that one go by? You know, because, you know, this stuff doesn't go away just because the calendar changes to a new day. It seems like, you know, no, this isn't the time. And if it mean, you know, you don't have to be in a hurry to reschedule. You know, you can do it later in the year. There's another opportunity. So don't press it.
Yeah, I don't know how you decide when the right time to play is. This stuff is it's just so frustrating.
I mean, I think look, I don't mean to be callous, but I think I do know when the right time to play is, and it's when you're no longer diverting resources from your community that are better served being diverted elsewhere. You know, when you can just have a game in your normal level of security, and we got 50 off-duty cops working here right now just to make, you know, peaceful presence and all that stuff. Like, when you're no longer sucking away assets from a more important situation, then I think it's time to go again. And right now, the crowd in Minnesota waiting for the jury verdict of this trial, it could be a very long night, shall we say. So it's the wrong time to be diverting elements of security for a baseball game. That's for sure. That's the part they absolutely got right, and no one can argue with, I would hope.
Yeah, I don't see how. I mean, when it took an hour for the Wild to decide what they were going to do just because they play their games in St. Paul and not Minneapolis, I was just sort of thinking, God, how tin-eared do you need to be? And then somebody got to somebody and said, we can't do this. And the NHL schedule is already in a shambles, so it's not like they can't adjust to that either. You know, the games aren't important at times like this. And that's the lesson that everybody's got to take away from this. The schedule doesn't matter.
We'll be back with more in just a little bit. Mark Spears knows James Wiseman very, very well. The video blog that he's been doing for the Undefeated, they got a great relationship. And unfortunately, the relationship for James Wiseman on the basketball court is halted once again due to an injury that could cost him the rest of the year. We're going to be back with Mark Spears of the Undefeated in just a moment here on 95.7 The Game. Meanwhile, tonight the Warriors are back, which means J.D. Covey and Jim Barnett got you with Warriors Live starting at 5:30, tip off just after 7 here. We are an Odyssey station brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Our Exergen temperature check right now tells us it's mostly cloudy and 75 degrees down in beautiful San Jose.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back here to 95.7 The Game, and welcome back to Mark Spears, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. They had a great video blog of James Wiseman's rookie year, which I'm guessing they're going to ask him to keep doing, but there's not going to be a lot of actual basketball games for him to be talking about because his year with his knee injury suffered on Saturday night might be over, and there is never a dull moment around the Golden State Warriors to talk about at all. We're really happy to have Mark Spears back. Mark, thank you as always for joining us, man. How bummed are you that Wiseman's rookie year looks like it's not going to take another step forward with the latest injury?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I was actually on a podcast earlier talking about Zion and how crazy his rookie year was and how forgettable it was. And in a lot of ways, Wiseman's is the same way, you know, with not having training camp, having COVID, to getting injured, to not taking your test, to, like, there's just so many things. So every time he seems to take 3 steps forward, you know, you're not starting. Now you're starting, like, he takes 3 steps back. And so I just feel bad for him because he, you know, the last time I talked to him, certainly seemed to have a great attitude, and it seemed like we, you know, I mean, to be honest, me, you guys, the whole Bay Area media, the national media, we've been really, like, pinpointing, like, breaking down everything he does, good or bad, and probably yelling more about the bad because he was drafted so high. But, you know, he's 19, and keep telling myself that, and I've seen enough flashes to think that he's going to still be special. But right now, the final chapter of this season is certainly disappointing for him.
Mark, you've seen an awful lot of young men come into this league. How do you think he's handling the pressures put on him so early in his career?
Better than you would think. And I think, you know, Dane, one of the reasons is he's not a big social media guy. Like, if you go look at his Instagram or you go look at his Facebook, I mean, not Facebook, Twitter, ain't much on there. Unless it's like an advertisement he's making some money off of, which is certainly, like, surprising for somebody that's, you know, 19 years old, 20 years old. But he's not into that. Doesn't care about that. And I think if that's not something that's part of your daily routine or something that you care about greatly, then you probably miss out on people talking bad about you all the time.
But everybody who says they don't read social media has people around them who do. So who are the people around Wiseman that he sort of has to remind, don't tell me about that? I don't want to know about it. It's not important to me.
I mean, he lived by his mama. Ray, I bet you you're on Instagram more than his mama is, you know? I guess
I'm never on Instagram, but I'm a bad example.
Yeah, my point is I just don't think he's consumed by it. So, yeah, you're always going to – I mean, I got friends. Remember somebody in Sacramento, I was on the radio with him. You guys know him. He's gone now. Said something to talk some trash about me. And, you know, we got moles all over the place. People tell you what they said. And I handled it. You know what I mean? But just for him, compared to the normal teenager, he's good on it, which I think is –
As far as the Warriors go now, what do you see this meaning to them, both for this year and into the future?
Well, I think for them, maybe stop signing guards and bring some extra bigs in, you know. Seem like all that signings have been guards, 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 guards. How many guards they need, you know. So, the European kid, I still can't pronounce his name. He's done nothing for him. Don't really understand why they haven't cut bait with him, unless there's just something really special behind the scenes that, you know, we're not privy to. What's his name?
Smiley Geach.
Alan Smiley Geach.
Yeah, that guy, right? but Dwayne Dedman was out there. He probably could have been somebody, have been a good Band-Aid in terms of, you know, blocking shots and rebounding. But the Warriors don't sign any bigs. You know, Looney's here and he's there, you know, game to game, it seems. So, like, I think if they really want to try to, you know, make it into this playoff, probably help you add some size at some point.
So, I don't know who that player would even be. I don't know who that player from the D League or the G League would even be right now. And it sounds like, you know, here's the thing. It feels like this is a year, right or wrong, more criticism has been pointed towards the decision makers than the players. And even though the players are the ones out there disappointing, Bob Myers, like you just said, reluctant to sign a big. It feels like Steve Kerr has been a little reluctant to go to the pick and roll, which he has seen some success with. As you take your knives out, who gets more of your knife work? Is it Kerr or is it Bob Myers for a season that is kind of going wrong?
I think to answer that, I need to know what the goal is, because perhaps the goal is not to be in the playoffs, or perhaps the goal under the circumstances is to be in the lottery with two picks. So that makes it hard to answer that question, because we'll never know what they truly want. If it is the playoff part, then I'm certainly real curious as to why, you know, there just seems to be guard after guard after guard brought in and not any size. And so, I mean, I guess Steve can only coach who you put in front of him, right?
Pretty much.
Toward that end, though, is this do you think, a systemic bias, or is there simply in the new NBA world order fewer bigs that can, you know, you can find on the street than there used to be? Because every team always used to have three or four handy at any given moment. Now it seems like scouting and development is veering away from that kind of player. Is that circumstance, or is that just a Warrior systemic problem that's been exposed?
No, I mean, it's the love for the small ball. Like, everybody wants to go small and shoot threes at volume and you know, that maybe have one inside guy and sometimes not. So I think it's the flavor of the month or in the NBA. And so perhaps they, and along with other NBA teams, don't value the bigs as much. But, you know, there always seems to be some issues with rebounding and owning the boards and getting beat up a little bit, second chance points. Maybe I think there needs to be some toughness there as well. And so, I mean, hey, man, you be small all you want, but you keep getting hit on the top of your head, it's going to have an impact on you. Right? So I don't know that they necessarily need, you know, Akeem Olajuwon to come out of retirement and come back or anything like that. I just think they just – some more size in like, just to not only just help with the need of size, it's just there's always some big that's out. Like, remember that – what was it, like 2 months ago? Like, they were – like, Toscano Anderson was playing center.
Right. Looney got hurt. No one was left. Yeah, Wiseman was out. It was a mess.
Toscano Anderson's about to be playing center again.
Yeah. You know, hey, man, as hard as that kid has fought in the league, he'd probably do whatever you need him to do. He do the play-by-play, you know, sell popcorn, whatever, tape ankles. He deserves it, too, but he'll do anything at this point. So I bet you he's in that ice bath after the game, though.
No doubt. The other sort of big Warrior story of the last week was the, I guess, retirement of Rick Welts. And I know you talked to Rick and wrote about that. What was the most interesting thing you learned from Rick talking to him at the end of his career?
Just, I mean, 50 years is a long time. So, like, I mean, he's like, you know, Al Addles. You could talk to him all day and he could tell you a zillion stories, and then he's like, yeah, you know, I was a ball boy when Bill Russell was playing. What? Wait, say that again? You're a ball boy when Bill Russell was playing? You don't get that in a conversation too much, you know. And I got the chance to sit down with Al, sit down with Earl Lloyd, the first black player in NBA history. And, you know, he's just one of those guys. He's just a history book. And so he's, you know, opened doors for gay people all over the world, not in just the sports world, to have confidence that, you know, you could be who you are and do your job, and it's, you know, don't worry about what the world has to say. And he's still mentoring people. And there's actually been a lot of – it was interesting. There were so many – like, David Stern is probably his big mentor, but to hear about how Lenny Wilkins and Spencer Haywood and Bill Russell, like, so many black men have influenced his life, he just – just a super special human being, and, like, good luck to whoever they find, man. I mean, a guy even, like, developed NBA All-Star Weekend.
Like, big shoes.
How do you replace somebody that, like, has done so much to, like, influence the game of basketball? I don't know.
Big shoes to replace indeed. Mark Spears, by the way, of the Undefeated. Let's wrap up with the fact that Steph Curry is about to replace some of the biggest shoes in NBA history, certainly in Warriors franchise history. With 19 more points, he passes Wilt Chamberlain for this franchise's all-time career leading scorer. What significance should be attached to that moment?
I mean, any, and I know it sounds cliche, but anytime you're in a sentence with Wilt, and then it includes past, that's special, you know. I actually, and this makes me an old head, I used to work out at the same gym with Wilt Chamberlain when I worked in L.A. in the late 90s, man. And this is a conversation for another radio episode. But, I mean, just a super nice man, but very, very confident in the amazing that he was. And I wish he was still here to like be present and have an opportunity to tell the stories like what I heard from Welch the other day, man. He was a, truly a treasure that is gone too soon, and with those 100-point game and all that scoring that we don't talk about enough.
We'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about the NBA's decision to cancel a game tonight in Minnesota. The NHL and earlier today, Major League Baseball also made that decision. What are your thoughts on the very latest from a sad chapter that continues to tap all of us now on our shoulders in America almost by the week?
Another black man killed. I got to learn the name of, man. Seemed like it sadly won't end. I'm not sure if it ever will end. I have some optimism, and then when you start feeling good, like the world is getting better, then something like this happens. So it's just, you know, I respect the NBA and Major League Baseball and NHL for doing what they're doing, but it ain't going to bring him back. It ain't going to bring him back to his 1.5-year-old son. And it's just heartbreaking, and I mean, like, I'm looking at the bottom of my car, and I'll leave you with this. The fact that I felt that I had to take my air freshener off my rearview mirror because it might save my life is truly sad and pathetic. And, you know, here's a change, and my condolences to his family and all the families who have yet had somebody, you know, die of gun violence from a cop who's supposed to serve and protect you. And the last thing I'll say on that is it just smells like Oscar Grant all over again.
Mark Spears. Good stuff, man. We thank you very much. It's great to talk about the stuff that doesn't matter with you and then a little about the stuff that does. Thank you very, very much.
All right. Take care, guys.
Always there he is. Mark Spears of the Undefeated here on 95.7 The Game. Let's welcome everybody to their 4 o'clock hour.